At this time, we would like to welcome you to Spiritual Talk Radio. This program is here to educate, encourage, and empower you, and we do this by providing you with spiritual teaching and free readings from psychic medium Michael and his guests. Check out www.spiritualtalkradio.net to see all that has taken place here already and all that is ahead. We would like to encourage you to be a part of the program by calling in at 1-347-327-9316. Our lines will open later on in the program, and you will be notified by Michael when this happens. Now sit back, relax, and let's see what Spirit has in store for you and I today on Spiritual Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Okay, nobody could hear me. All right, Travis, hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Sorry about that. We were having some technical problems. So.
No, it's okay.
Nobody could hear me. I just realized that my mic wasn't working, so I had to fix that. Nobody could hear me open the show. So.
It makes me feel not so bad now. I thought it was just me.
No, it is me. It's been one of those mornings for me already. So, I appreciate you so much for being here. So you didn't get to hear all the nice things I just said about you. Well, that's all right. Well, let me welcome everybody to the program because since nobody heard me, so you are listening to Spiritual Talk Radio, and we do have Travis Sanders with us today. And I apologize to you all. Technical problems. But I do appreciate everybody being here. Travis, for those that didn't get to talk to you last time or even know who you are, could you tell us a little bit briefly about who you are?
Absolutely. I'm 24. I'm from Ohio, and I'm a psychic medium. And most people are familiar with me from the A&E series, Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal. I did a few other things after that, and I've just been doing the work ever since. And so, yeah, that's really, like, in a nutshell, who I am and where I came from.
Okay, well, that is you in a nutshell, for sure. But, I was telling the air, I guess, how amazing that you were the last time you were here with us, and the gifts that are inside of you is just so amazing. You are an amazing talent, and I have no problem telling you that. Hopefully it doesn't blow your head up too big, but
no, I hope not.
All right, we hope not, Lydia. Now, how old were you when you got involved with the Psychic Kid thing?
I believe I just turned 19, right around the time that we started filming that.
Okay. And now, how did that come about? Did they approach you, or how did that come about for you?
It's interesting that you ask that. People ask me that all the time, and I have to be honest when I tell people, I really don't remember the finer details of it. it was one of those things where I went home one day, and I was checking my email, and at least as far as my memory serves me, there was just an email from a producer in my inbox, and so I answered it, and I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it would amount to too much. And then before I knew it, camera people were at my house.
Yeah, that'd be a little shock if you got cameras out in front of your house saying, hey, we're here to film you. So,
right.
Yeah. But, and I think that, a lot of times in our lives, Spirit will find us. And I feel like that, since you don't remember how that came about, maybe Spirit found you and put you where you needed to be at that point of your life. Before that period of your life, were you doing any readings, or did you even know what was going on with you at that point? Or
I was. I started on my spiritual path about 12 or 13 years of age.
Oh.
And so, yeah, from that point, I really started researching metaphysics, spirituality, the New Age movement, a lot of things that people would classify as the occult. And by the time that I was 16, I started doing readings publicly at psychic fairs. And so by the time that Psychic Kids came along, I already had a few years under my belt of doing the work.
Right.
But, of course, with a TV show like that, or with the premise that it has, they sort of slant it in a way that sort of makes it seem as if they are like taking you and shaping you, which was true in most cases for a lot of scenarios on that show. But
Right. Yeah,
I was already sort of well on my way by the time that came along.
Right. Yeah, because I've seen that show before, and yeah, they make it look like that they are shaping you and developing those gifts. But for you, you were already working pretty well in your gifts by that point of your life, and that's amazing. Now, how did you begin? I mean, when you first started stepping out, how was that for you? Did you find people accepting you because you were, pretty young when you started?
I've been fortunate, and I think that all of us are fortunate to live in this age where we have access to things like the internet.
Right.
But I've been very fortunate to come into contact with much more young people doing this work professionally than I originally thought was out there.
Right.
And when I've talked to them, that a lot of them have told me that they have had the experience of it being difficult or people maybe not taking them as seriously because of their age. And I feel really
right.
fortunate and really blessed because I never had that issue. I never had that problem.
Awesome.
Like I said, I started doing this work at psychic fairs as a teenager. And I honestly feel like, if anything, my age has almost been a benefit. It intrigues people. They're curious about the kid,
right.
quote unquote, the kid who's doing this work. So if anything,
right.
I found that it's only aided me.
Right. Now talking about, let's just stay with this for just a skip. As a young person, what would your advice to be to maybe somebody that's listening to you that maybe is the same age where when you started, what would your advice be to that kid, or let's say teenager, let's not call them a kid, they'd be sending me nasty emails, but teenager that might, be interested, they're feeling something, but they don't know how to step out. What would your advice to that person be?
I mean, as far as stepping out into maybe doing this as a career?
Right.
Honestly, the first thing that I would tell them is to just be very clear with your intention for what you want for yourself. I feel as sensitive as a lot of people, recognize the fact that we take in energy very easily. But the fact
right.
of the matter is, I think people who are sensitive can also put a signal out very easily. And so I truly feel that if, you're feeling pulled or called to this path of service as a career, that the opportunities would show up. I really just feel like the biggest piece of advice is to be grounded and to use as much discernment as possible, because there is, as much as there's really wonderful things out there, really wonderful opportunities and really wonderful teachings, the opposite always exists. And so just to be very mindful of what is your truth, what is best for you, what are you willing or not willing to do, and how does that fit in with your ideas or intentions that you have for yourself.
Right, definitely. Now, have you always been gifted from the moment you were born, or has that developed over time?
It's one of those things where, I hear people talk, especially when they talk about, growing up, and they're like, this started when I was 4, this started when I was 8. And they can't really put, an exact time frame. I just sort of always remember being sensitive.
Right.
The people's energies, the people's emotions. Some of my earliest experiences that I can recall, being like 4 or 5 years old, seeing colors around people, and I just thought that was normal and natural.
Right.
And so, I didn't think too much of it until I got older, and people
right.
started, I started hearing a lot of, "How did you know that? How did you know that?" And I honestly just had to tell people, "I don't know how I know that. Something's different. Something must be different." And I think that's what sent me on my my path of searching.
Yeah, because I think that we talked about the last time you were here, and I've talked to other mediums as well, and a lot of younger mediums. I have a lot of younger mediums on this program, but I find it interesting because they say, well, you know, I didn't realize that that everybody else wasn't doing this. You know, that
right.
Yeah, you know, that it was, you know, something abnormal or, you know, different than what a lot of people are doing, you know. But, you know, so I find that very intriguing. For me, when I first started, you know, years ago, opening up to my gifts, it wasn't like it is now, you know. And I think it's awesome where we have come from, you know, where we are now. People are more open, more accepting than they used to be to a lot of this.
Absolutely.
Yes. And we have some people hopefully patiently waiting for you. Would you like to take some calls?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, and then we'll talk in between them, but so we don't get these people all mad at me. Let's talk to a few of these people. Let's go ahead. Patty, you're on with Travis. Thank you for calling.
Hey, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
What can I do for you today?
I was just wondering, what did you see for my love life?
Your love life, let's see. Now, have you been talking to someone already, like before this call? Have you been talking or at least have a person in mind that you're curious about?
Yes.
Okay, and if you're comfortable with this, can I have this person's initials? You don't have to say their first name if you don't want to.
M.
I'm sorry?
M.
Like, okay.
M is in, like, Mike, but that's not his name.
Gotcha. I really feel like the communication there needs to continue. What I see is sort of like a natural unfolding, a little bit, the process is a little bit slow. I don't want to say slow, but just it has its own natural beat to it. It has its own natural rhythm. It has its own natural flow. I feel pretty all right about this connection with you and M. What I do want to say is where they put the majority of the energy is actually around, what I want to say is like towards the end of June, like the beginning of July, as to where the possibility for things to sort of evolve more, deepen more, sort of move to that next stage or to that next level kind of life. It really just depends on the interaction between now and then. But I feel decent about it. What I'm actually sort of picking up on, though, is that you might find that the closer that you get towards that time frame, that you're sort of like either reevaluating, is this really what I want, or is this really something that I want? But I feel like some of those fears are just triggered by some sort of like past emotional wounds. So to just be mindful of that, but also like, you know, respecting what you're feeling, but being mindful if it's coming from like a fear-based place or a legitimate like gut intuitive sort of place. But yeah, I really feel like that opportunity this coming summer, which I guess really isn't that far away after all, is sort of your window of opportunity to kind of take things to that next level.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Travis.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you. Bye.
Boy. All right. We appreciate Patty calling in. A lot of times, Travis, if people want to get hold of you, let's go ahead and give you your website while I'm thinking of it. If somebody wants to get hold of you, how would we do that?
The website is psychictravissanders.com. And it's all over the readings page, especially. There's also a contact page. But the email address that I use for work purposes is travispsychic@yahoo.com.
Okay, cool. All right. And now, where are you located in case somebody's close to you? Do you do readings face-to-face?
I do. I am from the northernmost part of Ohio, smack dab in the center of the state. If anybody is familiar with Ohio and they're familiar with Cedar Point, that's usually how I identify my location. And I actually work at I actually run a metaphysical shop in Huron, Ohio called It's Your Journey. And I do in-person appointments periodically through there. So if you're curious, it's just itsyourjourney.com to see when I'll be at the shop.
Okay, cool. Awesome. That's pretty, I didn't know that. So see, I learned something new about you this time that I didn't know. So.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, that's cool. I think we do that, you know, as we talk to people and get to know people, we learn different things about them. Now, talking about different things, now, is anybody in your family besides you intuitive?
To my knowledge, no. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and they're like, you know, my grandmother was also a psychic, or my aunt was also a psychic. And I can't say that I have any of those experiences. The only thing that I do think is sort of interesting is my mother's grandmother on her mom's side was a Pentecostal preacher.
Okay.
And she had, my mother has a journal of hers where, from the 70s, before she passed away, where she talks about predicting things, or what she called like the voice of God or the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to her. But what she's sort of experiencing and what she was kind of describing is very similar to what we would call like a psychic, or, you know, someone who's predicting things today. The terminology is different because of that religious lens, but I thought that that was really interesting.
Right, definitely, yeah. And I actually grew up in a Pentecostal church, and when I stepped out, you know, my parents, you know, were not big fans of all of this, and, you know, and I had to overcome, you know, some of my old belief systems. And I told them, I said, you know, it is no difference, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I told them, I said, you know, this is no different than, like, if I was a minister in a Pentecostal church, having visions, seeing things. It's just the way our perception and our language, you know. I like the word that you used was lens, and I thought that that was really cool.
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's go ahead. If you're all right, let's go ahead with Jill. Jill, you're on with Travis. Let's go ahead and say hi. Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
No problem. Hi. You're on with Travis. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question. I have been friends with my friend Margie for years, like 30 something years, and I've kind of gotten fed up with her. You know, last October, and I've taken a break, but how do you feel like this is going to play out? I feel like she's never grown up, and I have.
Well, you know, I think that the sort of disconnect of the friendship has allowed her to sort of see what the different perspective, I guess you could say, your perspective of sort of what created that disconnect in the first place and has caused her to do some contemplating and some thinking. I think what she went through first is this, an anger, really. And you have a little bit of that too still inside you, but it really was a powerful experience for her, because it caused her to, you know, like I said, do some of that self-evaluating. I feel like the friendship can be sort of reconnected or re-salvaged if that's what you want. I definitely feel like she would be open to that. The other thing, too, I would say, like, going into that, if that's something that you want to reconnect, is just keep in mind that even though she has grown and even though she has changed, some of those traits are just her. And so part of, you know, reforging that connection is to the acceptance of that, but know that she has bettered herself as a result of the loss of this friendship.
Okay. Because I realize I'm truly frustrated. She never thinks and nothing connects, and she's going on an adventure, and then we're arguing because, I don't know.
Right. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that's okay. That's okay for her to do that. And that's part of where you have to get to of, she's on her journey, and I don't have a say in what her journey looks like, and I'm on my journey, and she doesn't have a say in what my journey looks like.
Right, and then she's been judging me on my journey. I just need a friend. I don't need to be judged.
Sure. And, you know, like I said, really what it boils down to is, if you want this friendship, it's there for you, and if not, it doesn't have to be. But you know, that having that sort of connection is really important, even if it's just one person. So, you know, if you're sort of hesitant about her still, you know, maybe try to connect outwardly somewhere else, but just know that, you know, at the core of it, she truly, truly does care for you. And
I
feel like at the core for it, you truly care for her. So if you want this connection back, I feel like you're the one who's going to have to reach out, because part of her is really stubborn and is just not going to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Now, Travis, if somebody, you know, a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people over time here, and a lot of people are wondering how they can open up their own gifts, and that's what we try to get people to do, you know, tap into themselves. Now, what would your advice be on that? You know, if somebody just wanted to know where to start, what would you tell them?
You know, I have, for me, because I was in that same position, I didn't know where to go, where to start, you know,
right.
anything about that. And so for me, just because I'm very much a book person, books were sort of my savior at one point.
Right.
And so there are different books if people are interested in self-teaching and self-learning that are listed on the resource page of my website that
okay.
I found to be very helpful or, you know, very sort of guiding. I know some great authors for people who are just starting out. One would be Echo Bodine. She has a lot of really fantastic books that are good information but presented in a very simple and practical way. You know, so there's those sort of resources. If you feel like you have, you know, maybe more of a raw or a natural ability and you're wanting to develop more and you're in my area, I have a 3-week psychic development intensive coming up, and the information for that is on my website also. But, you know, the biggest thing is just find what works for you. But if you're going to work with a person, if you're going to work with a flesh and bone teacher, just like I said, the same thing with stepping out into this as a career, use a lot of discernment. Just because someone is teaching stuff like this doesn't mean that they're qualified to be teaching stuff like this. So don't be afraid to, you know, not only trust your gut, but ask for other people's experience with that person.
Right. Definitely. And, you know, yeah, and just be careful because, like you said, not everybody that is saying that they know what they're doing knows what they're doing.
Right.
So, yeah, right. So you gotta have some discernment. Not every psychic out there that has a sign out in front of their building is somebody that you might want to trust. Just, you know, use your own discernment and, you know, that will lead you the right way. Now, I had a question for you, but that has totally slipped out of my head at the moment. But I guess that's all right. Now, you know, going back to the resources, and what I found very interesting is what you was talking about, you know, that you were getting ready to do in person there, you know, as training and stuff like that. Now, I was going to ask you a question, and I just got it back. Now, do you use any tools, like metaphysical tools, to help you? Because I know some people do, some people don't.
When I am reading for a person, you know, whether it be on the phone, in person, or whatever, one of the things that I do, especially more so in in-person readings, I would say, is I scribble on a notepad as I read
okay.
to someone.
Right.
Part of it is a form of automatic writing. Different things will just come in, and my hand just kind of writes them. And
right.
the other part of it is it helps keep my left brain occupied when I'm trying to access more of that right brain intuitive side.
Right.
For many years, especially when I was first starting out, I read cards.
Okay.
And to this day, I still have a deep love for cards. I don't necessarily use them in my personal work for clients, but I use them for myself.
Right.
And I think, you know, it's one of those things where I hear a lot of psychics say, I can't read for myself, I can't get information for myself.
Right.
And I understand what they're saying. You know, I think what they're really saying is just harder, much, much harder to be objective with yourself because you have
right.
to be that, like, painfully honest. But using the cards for myself is one way that I'll get insights or read for myself. But when it comes to my interaction with, you know, my public work and my clients and stuff like that, it's just me and a pen.
Okay. And that's pretty cool. And, yeah, now when I first started I used cards a lot. I still use cards off and on, but not as much as I used to. Now, one thing with me is I think I collect cards. So I,
yeah,
because I go to like a new age store, a metaphysical store, and you know every time I go in there, I need, you know, I think, man, I need another deck of cards. And I was like, for what reason? So, but,
right.
Yeah, but, you know, but they are because, I mean, a lot of them, I don't know if you're like this, Travis, but a lot of them are the artwork on a lot of these cards that we have are so beautiful, and a lot of them have been done intuitively, and I just find that very interesting and intriguing, and I think that's probably why I navigate towards, you know, getting more cards and more cards. So,
absolutely. Like you said, for me, that's one of the reasons that I believe that I collected so many, just because of the artwork. Like you said, it's gorgeous.
Right, it is. Yeah, definitely. There's just some amazing artists out there that have created amazing things. Let's go ahead and talk to Lisa. She's called from New Mexico. Hi, Lisa. You're on with Travis, if we can get you on. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
You're on with Travis.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. I am waiting to hear back from someone that I called. I've called a few times and left pleasant messages at their office, and I'm waiting to hear back from them. I want to come in and do some work for them. Do you see them calling me?
You know, I actually sort of get the sense that you may not hear from them for a while. Kind of what I get is that for whatever reason, like on a personal level with this person that you've been calling, I just sort of feel like there is this level of an ungroundedness, I have to say, but I just also feel too, like for whatever reason, there's this level of uncertainty, and I don't feel like it has to do with you. I have to feel like it's based in either what's going on with said person's personal life or their practice. I do feel like later on down the road that you'll hear from them, but it's going to be like one of those things where it's a little bit too late, you know, like just like so far beyond where it's just like, hey, you know, sorry about this. And it's just like, you know, at this point, since X amount of time has passed, it's almost, you know, it's almost too late for that. But I would just sort of say don't put many expectations there. And I actually have to say I feel like this might be a blessing in disguise, because it might not be the best thing for you, or some things may not reflect, some things based with them might not reflect well for you if that connection was there.
I see. Okay. So just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, just sort of go with the flow and not have any expectations around that connection. But like I said, it may be a good thing. I just sort of feel like I'm being guided to tell you to feel a little bit more into, you know, either the person or the office itself, because something just feels a little, like, off. That's the only way I know how to put it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your insight.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. You know, now, Travis, I had a question that just popped up while you were doing that reading. And the question that I have for you is, when you're reading for people face-to-face or even on the phone, have you ever just had people that, you know, just do not accept what you're saying to them, you know, because a lot of times people just want to hear what they want to hear. if you've had that, how have you dealt with that?
It's funny. I have had that happen, and it's usually never in person, but I remember being on a radio show one time, and, you know, the woman said, you know, I agree with the first half of what you said, but I have to say, I think you're wrong about the second half.
Right.
And, you know, my sort of response was, you know, that's great. You know, I encourage everyone to trust your gut, but if you already know the answers, why are you calling me?
Right, yes, yeah.
And you know, I sort of laugh it off with humor. You know, there's that side of me, you know, that ego side that says, you know, I'm working my best to try to help you out, so why
right.
are you not going to listen to what I'm saying? But
right.
at the end of the day, I realized that, you know, if someone has an agenda, they're gonna hear that.
Right.
Regardless, and so I might as well just laugh it off with humor and just wish them the best on their journey.
Yeah, and the other thing that I've done, Travis, in my experience, is, you know, a lot of times I'm telling somebody something and they're not listening to what I'm exactly saying, and so then they misinterpret that, and that can be really confusing. Have you had that as well?
You know, it is a tricky thing, especially because as sensitives, as mediums, we're, you know, being a voice piece, essentially, for this language
right.
of energy. And we're
right.
trying to find the right words to
right.
match and convey as best as we can. And it's difficult. And I know a lot of times when I read for someone who, you know, the information that's not applying to them, maybe someone who's listening to someone else's reading, it might seem like I'm being overly repetitive, but it's because
right.
I want to make sure that I'm being very clear with what I'm being shown, That way they don't, you know, either they don't take it the wrong way or it doesn't sound like, you know, I was off or they were off. I just want to be very clear in what I do.
Right, definitely. Yeah. And I can feel that about your energy. You have really awesome energy. I can feel your energy. The one that I want to tell you, I'm going to ask you a question because I keep picking something, and I don't normally do this so much, but I keep picking up something with you, and I'm going to ask you about it because I just keep picking it up.
Sure.
Are you planning a trip, or is there travel? Or are you planning travel pretty quick?
You know, I just got back from a trip. I did an expo last weekend on the Ohio-Kentucky border, which was a significant drive for me, and that was a really wonderful, fantastic experience. But I have been considering doing some out-of-state either workshops or mediumship galleries, and so that's kind of being tossed around right now.
Yeah, because I would go for that, because what I saw you at was I saw you at an airport. And so that would mean that you were traveling out of your state, you know, some distance. As I saw you like on another coast. I saw you more like on the East Coast.
Let me. I've been considering hitting Baltimore and Washington, D.C.
Okay. Yeah,
I have some friends there, and I was planning a little sort of thing out there as well. So yeah, definitely East Coast for sure.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because I kept seeing you on the East Coast, and I was like, okay. And like I said, so, but yeah, that's going to be a really good opportunity. And I also feel like it's going to open other doors for you. So that's going to be a really good thing for you.
Thank you for that.
No problem. I just needed to tell you that so I could get that. You know, you're probably the same way sometimes. You just have information inside of you that you just have to get out.
Or you feel like you're going to explode.
Yeah. Sometimes it just feels that way for me. Have you ever felt like that? Just like if you don't get that out, it's just going to explode inside of you?
Absolutely. If you know, I'm not the type of person, and I find this more so with mediumship. I can keep my mouth shut with psychic stuff because it's always coming through. But I'm not like, you know, I love Teresa Caputo, but I'm not like the Long Island medium where I go around giving messages all the time.
Right.
But there are some instances where a spirit will come through so strong that I get anxious. And I start pacing around, and I start, you know, I'm just a nervous ball of energy until I finally break down and say what needs to be said, and then I feel like it can relax.
Right. Yeah. It's just that push, because I know with me anyhow, a lot of times some spirits on the other side are a little pushy.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, they want to make that connection so bad that they just keep it on top of you until you're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. So,
right.
And, you know, and a lot of people, you know, and I think it's a lot of times that I find, Travis, is I find out that the person, if they were like that, you know, when they were in body form, they still have that energy on the other side as well. You know, if they were that kind of person that wanted to be out front here, they sort of are still that way over there on that side. Do you find that?
Absolutely. In my public demonstrations, one thing that I tell people is, you know, one of the biggest ways that you can identify that it's your loved one that's coming through is they will absolutely bring their personality through. You know, if they were loud and obnoxious when they were alive, they're going to be loud and obnoxious on the spirit side as well.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Now, I found one time I was doing a reading for a lady face-to-face, and I wasn't even paying attention to me, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, I was talking to her, and all of a sudden she goes, "Oh my God." And I was like, you know, it scared me because I was like, "What?" You know, and she says, "That's my husband. My hand had actually twisted a way that his hand looked and, you know, and identified."
Cool.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Was anything like that happen with you like that?
You know, there are times, especially there's one reading in particular that comes to mind when I think of this, where, yes, you know, as a medium, we're being influenced, especially on the level of thought and feeling.
Right.
But at this, I remember I was reading for a woman who lost her husband. I believe, if my memory serves me right, it was a motorcycle accident. And when I read for him, I truly felt like not only was he talking to me, but there really was like this blending of energies taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the words that I would use, the mannerisms that I would have, that just even my body felt different. So yeah, absolutely. And I always tell people too, when I teach classes, your body is an instrument. And if you're in quote unquote reading mode and something happens as insignificant as your toe itching, pay attention to that, because your body can get just as much messages as your mind or your consciousness does.
Now, the other question I have for you that popped up in my head that I want to ask is, now, when you do, you know, mediumship demonstrations or gallery readings, whatever we call those things, do you remember a lot of that, or do you feel like you go into some kind of trance and you don't remember?
I actually, with the demonstrations, I remember some of the people more so. That I connect with, not so much the messages that came through from their loved ones.
Right.
But I found, you know, like in my psychic reading, sometimes I may do a reading for someone and I see them a week later and they start talking about it. And I'm like, you know, I'm really, really sorry. I remember the reading, but I just do not remember what was said in the reading, because it wasn't for me to remember. It was for her.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and I think, you know, for myself, I've been reading for a while. You know, if I remembered every reading that I did, that would be a lot of readings, and I think I would have some problems, you know, because that information is not for us. You know, it's for the person that we are connecting with at that moment in our lives. And, you know, so, yeah, I tell people, you know, when I do, you know, gallery readings and, you know, connecting with people, you know, I tell them, I said, if you're going to set up appointments with me or whatever, you know, see my assistant that's right there with me, and because I'm not going to remember anything. It takes a while for me to, for me to come back and connect here. You know, once I'm over on that plane, I have a little hard time adjusting back. It doesn't happen very fast.
Right. So,
you know, and I don't know if you're like that, but you know, it just takes a little bit of time, because we're so in depth and we're over there so much, you know, trying to connect that, you know, sometimes we you know, getting back to our left brain takes a while.
Yeah, the other thing too, like you mentioned, being out there or over there more so than other people, I find it really funny that even to this day, some of my friends who, you know, they know what I do, they're the closest to me, they forget that. I think sometimes they think I space out on them or that I don't listen to them, but they don't realize that I'm having multiple conversations at the same time and I'm trying to keep track of everything in my head. So, yeah, I absolutely understand that.
Yeah, because, and I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times our friends don't realize that. You know, I had a friend one day, I was at their house, and all of a sudden, I could tell that they were talking, but also I was in a conversation with somebody on the other side as well. And it was like, oh, okay. And she goes, you're not listening to me. And oh, were you talking? I'm sorry. And so, you know, but she knows, you know, that happens, you know. And I have friends come up to me, and, you know, one day I was at a park, and I'm sure you have this too sometimes. You know, I was at a park, and we were just there, you know, having some. They said, okay, see. So, I guess there's a look that I'm not even aware of, you know, that happened.
Right.
And they go, what did you just see? And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Do you ever have that?
You know, I do. You know, just even random stuff. And it's one of these things to where it's at the point of, you know, half the time I don't even pay attention anymore. Like, you know, I was with a friend the other day. We're going to a coffee shop. And this coffee shop was in this historical building of downtown sort of area. And I stumbled, and I was like, damn cat. And then I realized that there was a cat, but no one else could see it. And even just little stuff like that, where sometimes you got to play it off, like, oh, you know, nothing happened, don't draw attention to yourself kind of thing.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. But now, do you find your friends very accepting to you?
Absolutely. I've been very, very fortunate that the people that I consider, you know, true, true dear friends are 100% accepting. They are supportive in so many different ways. Even if they don't always understand what I do, they're extremely supportive. I think it's because they understand that at its core, it's not fortune telling. It's not, you know, a Miss Cleo thing, that it's all about helping people. And I see that they see the after results of what happens with this work, and I, on an innate level, I just think they feel that it's good.
Right. Now, another question I have for you, do you find it, staying with your friends, do you find it hard, I don't know if you read for your friends, but do you find it hard to read for people that are close to you?
Yes, and I usually will not mix my personal life and my work life.
Okay.
There have been times where Spirit has guided me to offer a particular friend a reading, especially if they're in a difficult situation. But usually my friends are pretty good about knowing not to ask me psychic
right.
stuff, because I am not working. When I am with my friends, it is friend time, and when I'm in their reading room, it's reading time, and they're usually pretty respectful of that.
Well, that's good that they respect that boundary that you have in place there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's hard, too, I think. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's hard, too, for a lot of us who do this work to enforce those boundaries, because so many of us are kind of like nice guys. And we're, you know, I find that me, it took a very long time to get to that point feeling comfortable saying no. And it's something
right.
that I still struggle with sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Now, because I mean, that's a lot. I think that's for anybody. You know, there might be people listening to us right now, you know, just setting boundaries and period, not just with psychic stuff, but just setting boundaries is very important in our lives, you know, to have those fine lines that says, okay, I'm going to put up with this, but I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to deal with that, you know. And I find a lot of people, and I'm sure you see this too, Travis, because there's a little bit of difference of age between us, you know, different generations of, you know, maybe with your generation, you know, that's easier. But with my generation, it's a little harder for me to set those sometimes. Do you find that?
You know, I honestly have experienced both with you know, many different ages.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know if it has to do with, you know, the types of people that I'm attracted to or drawn to, but I find, too, that sometimes, you know, what I have to do is just pull back, and sometimes
right.
I just disappear for a while, and that's
right.
what I have to do for me.
Right, and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's very important, and you probably learned that right away as you started this, you know, having that time. And I think a lot of readers, I've seen this happen to a lot of readers, I think they get burned out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, they just, you know, because are you an empath as well? Do you have...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Okay, are you an empath? Do you pick up emotions of people and spirits?
You know, I say this in a joking way. I truly feel, you know, grateful to be the way that I am.
Okay.
But I am aware of other people's feelings, and sometimes that can be really beneficial, and sometimes it can feel really horrible.
Right.
At the end of the day, you know, like I said, I wouldn't change it for the world. But,
right.
You know, that word, I think that's probably what caught me off guard, is so much, especially, and I don't know if you've noticed this as well, but in the past 5 years, past 10 years, the word empath has like exploded.
Right.
Almost
yes,
to
definitely.
The point where I avoid it, just because it seems like everybody and their brother is an empath.
Right.
Which is
yeah.
why personally I either go by psychic medium or sensitive. Because to
okay.
me, sensitive says it all. I'm sensitive to the living, I'm sensitive to the dead, I'm sensitive to emotion, I'm sensitive to energy. But
yeah
absolutely very aware of other people's emotional bodies.
Yeah, because the other word that I think has exploded going with empath is channeling. You know, I remember
Absolutely.
a few years ago, it was like everybody and their brother was channeling. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that's one of those words that are used a lot, the empath and
yeah.
channeling. Yeah, that's what we're
Definitely.
Saying. We're not saying it's wrong. We're just saying that, you know, there's a lot of that.
Right.
Yeah, I think let's move away from that subject before we get in trouble. Let's go ahead and talk to Lisa. Lisa, thank you for your patience. Hi.
And then you're really never happy.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
You're on
Hi.
Air with us. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, you're on air.
This is Tina.
Oh, okay. We got the wrong name then. For somehow... My person getting the names that got your name wrong. So go ahead. We're sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's okay. My name's Tina.
Hi, Tina.
And I was just wondering about my love life.
Sure. Is there anything specific about it that you were wondering?
I don't know. Is there anything out there for me better? Really, that's it. Is there anything coming that's good for me?
Let me see here. Actually, one of the things that they're actually showing me has to do with a bit of an energetic block that's creating what I would term as like a fulfilling relationship. One of the things that they're giving me, I work very heavily with visuals and with symbols when I get my information. And one of the symbols that they're being shown to me is something that kind of indicates a false sense of entrapment. Or, you know, it may also be interpreted as like a false sense of, this is what I can accept, or this is what I deserve. What I'm being shown, though, however, is they're taking me towards fall, and they're making me feel like, especially, they center a lot of energy around the month of October, but that is sort of like a doorway or an opening for, I think, something that is more in alignment with you, or something that is a good match for you to make its way into your experience, for sure. But I don't know if it's because, you know, I don't know, going back to what they said in the beginning, this, like, false sense of entrapment or whatever this
because
is about. That
I was
I don't know
with if, somebody almost 4 years, and I just broke it off, and I was just wondering if it was the right choice or...
Well, yeah, I absolutely do say that sort of stepping away from that was the best thing for you, for sure. And so, you know, and I also want to be very clear here, too, that I may have a personal bias with this next piece that I'm about to give to you, but it's simply for the fact of, even though they give me a window for you of opportunity, that they center a lot of energy around the month of October for someone to make your way into your experience, you know, this is coming from Travis the person, not Travis the psychic. Just be very sure that you're careful in how you approach that, because in reality, from now until October, compared to the 4 years of that relationship, is not a lot of time. And I think having that time is important. So just be very sort of, I don't want to say cautious, be very sort of slow to move about it and very careful in how you navigate it, but just to know that I feel like there is some sort of a connection or some sort of, you know, like I said, opportunity around that October time period.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I was wondering if I made the right choice, but I guess so.
Yeah, I really do feel like that was just, it feels to me like you outgrew it, and it was like a shoe that no longer fits.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. That's what I was wondering.
All right. Thank
yep.
you.
You're on the right path.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Tina. All right. Yeah. Now, Travis, and I know I have this problem, so I have another medium here with me so that I can ask this question to. Do you find it hard sometimes telling people, you know, like especially relationship questions and stuff like that, you know, when you have to tell them, okay, this is not going to work out, do you find that hard?
I do. You know, as that person in me that is, you know, or sweet or wants to be very likable, wants everyone
right.
to hear what
yeah.
they want to hear, but I also know that I would not be effectively doing my job if I just
right.
told people what they wanted to hear. You know, it's one of those things that I struggled with for a very long time, and I used to, like, dance around questions, and I realized
right.
after, you know, a while of doing that, hey, I'm not serving me, and I'm not serving them by doing that. And so
yeah.
as harsh as it may sound, I can be very direct, and I can tell people the truth, or at least what I feel to be the truth,
right.
but also be very sort of loving with that directness. And I think that people, at the end of the day, even if it's not what they want to hear, they appreciate the honesty above anything else.
Right, definitely. And I think that's what people are really looking for nowadays, you know, are those people like yourself and myself, you know, that are honest and say, hey, you know, we're going to tell you what we're picking up, and this is what we're picking up. And,
right.
And, you know, and it might not be always what you want to hear, but it will probably be what you need to hear at the moment.
Right.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I've had that struggle too. And the one thing that I do sometimes is, you know, if I know that I'm getting ready to tell somebody, you know, something that they're probably not really ready to hear or want to hear at the moment, you know, I say, are you sure you want to ask that question? And that should be their cue that, that, you know, that something's about to be said that, you know, I'm having a problem, you know, because I'm human too, you know, and just like you, I'm a nice guy, and, you know, I don't, you know, sometimes I struggle with that. And so, you know, if I'm saying, hey, you know, are you sure you want to ask that? You might want to think if you want to ask that. Because, so, you know, if I'm struggling with that answer, then, you know, it's like, okay, I don't know. Hopefully they ask something else. But, you know, and I find that very interesting. Go ahead, Travis.
I was going to say, too, I also find that a lot of people, they'll ask one question with their mouth, but they'll ask another question with their heart. And the answer that they get, is the question that they're asking with their heart, not necessarily what came out of their mouth. That's always interesting, too.
Now, somebody was here's a question. If somebody was getting ready to get a reading from you, you know, let's say that somebody called you up and said, hey, Travis, you know, I want to set an appointment with you. You know, what would you recommend for me to do before I get there to see you?
The most important thing to me is make sure you write your questions down. I don't know how many sessions that I've had where someone, they'll say, a lot of times their questions get answered before I sort of open it up. But there are a lot of times where they say, too, you know, I know I had other questions, but they just slipped my mind because so much information is being thrown at them. So if you write them down beforehand and you know, prepare yourself to take notes, then you won't forget anything. The other thing, too, for anybody going to see, whether it's a psychic, a medium, an astrologer, whatever, have no expectations of what the process should look like. Because if you have any sort of expectations, whether they're good ones or bad ones, you're most likely setting yourself up to be disappointed. But if you just go and say, I'm open to what comes through, even if it's on a particular subject, I'm open to what comes through about this particular topic that I want to ask about, I think that they're more likely to hear what they need to hear.
Definitely. Okay, and could you give us your, let's get your website out there one more time. What's your website?
It is www.psychictravissanders.com.
Okay, just in case somebody's listening and say, hey, you know what, I really would like to set up a reading with Travis, and I would recommend it. And people always ask me this. They go, okay, why do you have other mediums on your show if you're a medium? It's like, we're not in competition. I'm not in competition with Travis. And he's not in competition with me. We're all working for the same purpose, to help you.
Exactly.
Yes. And so that's why. And I think that we need to get past that. We need to get past that competition thing. I think that's a problem with our world at the moment. We're just in too much competition with each other. Do you feel that, Travis, sometimes?
I agree. I see that a lot, a lot with a lot of the psychics, but with managing the metaphysical store, I see it with so many other stores or so many other vendors or people at expos. They're so hesitant to recommend another store or refer someone to a different reader if they don't have what that person's looking for. And it's like, hey, I know that my good is there, and that there's enough for everyone to go around. And if, you know, if I can refer someone, even if they're competition, because they need their help, then that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And I do that sometimes. You know, a lot of people come up to me, and for whatever reason, because there is a code of ethics that we use, you know, that sometimes I just can't read for a person. I mean, there's just whatever reason I'm not picking up, or I just feel like I can't read for that person. And so, you know, I have no problem saying, hey, you know what? I can't read for you, but, you know, I know this person, and, you know, they can read for you. It helped me a lot with this program. You know, I know a lot of mediums now that I didn't know. And so, I could say, hey, you know, I can't read for you, but, hey, you know, Travis, you know, if he has some time, I'm sure that, you know, if he has an opening, I'm sure he would be able to help you, you know. And I think that it's good that we do that. And I think that, you know, the one thing that I would love to see, especially in the metaphysical world, is that a whole lot more. Not having that competition kind of stuff going on. All right, before we get any more trouble, let's go ahead and move on to somebody else. And I feel like this is going to be our last call. And I will apologize to everybody that couldn't get on with Travis, but we just can't get everybody on, and hopefully you understand that. Let's go ahead and talk to Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
Hopefully I said your name right.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Okay, go ahead with Travis.
Okay, real quick, I just was hoping to connect with Spirit if there's any loved ones or anybody that has any messages for me on the other side.
Okay, well, that is an interesting thing. One thing that I will say is that, I get a lot of mediumship in my readings, but it's something that, and this may change as time goes on, mm-hmm. I find mediumship to do on radio shows because it is, you know, in a radio show you have a very short format, and for me, I take my time when I work with Spirit.
Okay.
And so that's not something that I do. Like I said, that might change. If you are interested in a more of a mediumship type session,
mm-hmm.
I would be, you know, happy to set something with you up in a private setting. But I kind of call radio mediumship snapshot mediumship.
Okay.
It's a term that someone else said on another radio program that I did, and I found it to be a really good analogy. But it's just not something that I connect with very well.
Oh, okay. No problem. Can I just ask?
Very sorry.
Can I ask just a regular question then, not medium one? Okay.
Absolutely.
Do you see me returning to work or just remaining a stay-at-home mom at this point?
You know, I guide. You know, when I guide answers that come through, I always remind people of the free will of it.
Okay.
And I feel very much so to do that here. With some people, there's like a distinct pull that I feel in one direction, a distinct pull that I feel in another direction. For you, I feel like it really boils down to this choice. My feeling and what I feel would be best for you is, yeah, going back to work. But I just sort of feel like there, I don't know if it's, you know, a partner, I don't know if it's a situation that just makes it easy to say, or I could just keep doing this. But I really feel inside there's this pull or this want to go back. And I think that is the best opportunity for you, and I would encourage you to do that at any opportunity that presents itself.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Right. And, you know, and I thought I'd shut up the wrong person. Travis, are you still here?
Oh. I'm here.
Okay. I got lost on my switchboard. I got a whole bunch of calls, and I lost you somewhere. Okay, but I would recommend Cheryl. You know, set up a mediumship reading with Travis, because I feel like that, you know, Spirit really is leaning you that way. So that's something for you to consider. I'm just putting it out there.
Just to clarify, what I was saying to her for maybe anyone else that was listening, when it comes to psychic work, simply for the fact that I've been doing it since I was a kid, it's very quick and very fast,
right,
the way that it comes
right
through. So radio is perfect for doing psychic
right
readings. But with my mediumship, I work slowly, but I work slowly because I like to be efficient and get the messages as clear as possible. And it's
right
still a channel, for a lack of better words, that I'm working on in me. So it's just something that I don't feel comfortable doing. And at least, you know, for me, I know that when I have an appointment set up and they're having an expectation of mediumship, that I don't have to worry about timing and I can be very sort of methodical and work through the information that comes through. But for at least right now where I'm at in my mediumship, it's just not a practical thing for me.
Right. Yeah. And I find, you know, for myself, you know, I find the same thing, you know, mediumship. You know, for you really to make that connection, yeah, of course I do some on the radio, but to make that real strong connection, you know, you just have to have more time, and you just have to be able to sit down and really tune in. It's not something that just, you know, with readings, you know, yeah, you know, we can answer those pretty quick because we're both have been doing that for a while. But the mediumship thing, you know, it's sort of like, okay, the way I would put it is like you wouldn't just run in to, you know, let's say your grandparents' house here in physical form and just run in and say, hi, you know, here I am. You would want to spend some time, and they would want to spend some time with you. So if you look at it that way, then you sort of maybe can understand what we're saying. It just takes a little bit more time.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. You know, Spirit gave me that. So we thank Spirit for that. Because, you know, I find it this way, Travis, and maybe you're the same way. You know, sometimes I'll come to this radio program and I'll just sit here, and a lot of times I notes. I don't have anything in front of me that I read off of. I just come here, I put a headset on, and luckily I plug in my mic most of the time. and I plug my headset in, and then I just open my mouth, and Spirit fills it. Are you sort of like that sometimes? You know, does Spirit just fills your mouth?
Absolutely. When I remember the very first time that I did readings, I was 16, I just had the reading where the psychic told me all the things that I would be doing someday, which have all happened, and her and another woman who worked at these fairs kind of took me under their wings, and I remember the one woman's name was Colette. She's an intuitive artist, and she called me one day, and she's like, hey, do you want to go do readings at this garden club party thing that I'm doing? And I said, I don't know how to do readings. And she's like, you'll figure it out. And so I thought about it for a few days, and she called me, and she's like, hey, have you made a decision yet? And I'm like, no, I'm still kind of nervous. I don't really know what I'm doing. And she said, well, think of it this way. There are a bunch of old women in the garden club. Chances are, if you get it wrong, you're not going to see any of them again. And she said it in a joking way, not in a serious way. But it sort of helped. It did kind of take the pressure off. And when I went, I just remember setting up my table and sitting in the room that was held at the house, and I just said, Spirit, I came, and if I open my mouth, you have to put the words there. And right. That day I did like 10 readings, and I don't remember any of them. I just remember having, that faith of being willing to just say, here I am, use me, I'm showing up, you better show up to meet me in the middle. And it's never failed me.
Right, never. Yeah, and that's one thing about Spirit. Spirit will never fail us. I mean, they tell us to step out. We step out. They'll do the rest. So they're just leaving it up for us to step out. And mine was the same way, sort of. But, very first time I did a psychic fair, I read for friends and family, and that's different. And then, I did my first psychic fair, and I was sitting there at the table. And you're going to find this funny, Travis. In some ways, but I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, nobody's going to get a reading from me. So I was putting out really negative energy, and I'm surprised anybody ever sat there because, I'm thinking, okay, this is a waste of time, I don't even know what I'm doing here, And so finally this lady came up to me and she said, can I sit down for a reading? And I said, are you sure you want to? And so she said, what? And I was like, yeah. And she said, well, are you a reader? And I said, yeah. And she said, okay, then I want a reading. And I was like, okay, go ahead. And so after that, after I got off, over those nerves, things went really well. But it's that first, it's that first thing, it was just a lot of myself, esteem and some stuff I had to personally work through. And I'm sure you've had that too, the things that, personal levels we have to work through to get us to where we are now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I think that a lot of times people forget that we're human, that we, have good days and bad days just like everybody else.
just recently, I'm not scared of just speaking in front of, big groups of people, stuff like that, but before a mediumship demonstration, I always freak out. I am just an anxious ball of energy. And before this past weekend in Cincinnati at the Victory of Light, I almost canceled. I called the guy Victor on the phone. And I was like, I can't do this. I'm really so. Actually, I sent an email and then I talked to him on the phone. I can't do this. I'm sorry. I'm, all these things. And
right.
He was so sweet that he talked me to, about it and through it. And
right.
It ended up being a really fantastic event. But, yeah, we are absolutely human.
Yeah. And I think that, for me, I always have that. When I'm standing in front of, I think that's just part of the energy that we go through, Travis. Part of that nervousness is to get us prepared to do what we need to do. Because I find that all the time when I'm doing a mediumship demonstrations and stuff, I'm nervous. A week before, I'm like a nervous wreck. And if I let my brain talk to me, yeah, it's going to talk me right out of business. So I've learned to shut that thing off. Because, it will keep you, and a lot of times I find that the problem is that our brains are just talking to us and not our spirit. So we got to really watch. Yeah. But I'm glad you went ahead and did it. I'm glad it worked out for you.
Me too.
Yeah, because you know, I think if you talk to anybody, a lot of people are going through the same things. You know, as mediums, you know, we get nervous, and I just think it's just part of that energy thing, that energy shift that we have to go through to get there.
I definitely believe so, and I also think too that it's part of, for me, keeping myself humble. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend recently of mine who's she's older than myself, so she's been reading for a very long time, and she said,
right.
You know, because I was talking to her about that particular situation, she says, you know, a few years ago I was watching, I think it was one of Cher's farewell tours on TV, and they're doing an interview with her, and it showed her before a performance, and she was just trembling like a leaf.
Right.
And she said, you know, she's been doing this since the 60s, and she says, I always am nervous before I go out on stage, and once I hit that first note, I'm fine, and I figure, well, if Cher can get nervous, I can get nervous.
Right, yeah. If Cher can get nervous, you can get nervous. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, you're entitled to get nervous, okay? But we're glad that you worked through that and don't let that stop you, you know, because, you know, it is, you know, but I find it, I think you know, for me anyhow, when I'm trying to connect people with their loved ones, and especially when I know a lot of people are going to be there, I feel like a lot of pressure, you know, maybe unnecessary pressure that I put on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that sometimes?
You know, I think my biggest fear is, or at least it always is until I get my first connection in the audience, the tape that I play in my head over and over again is that, what if I get up there and I have no information, nobody can mix, which is silly because you have a room full of people and you
right.
consider that each
yeah.
one of those people has like five or six loved ones probably on the other side. Someone
right.
is bound to talk to you.
Right, yeah, sure. Well, you know, if you just take something, you know, maybe get into juggling or something. So, you know, if you ever had that, you could do something else. I don't know. But you're always going to connect. I'm the same thing. You know, the night before, some of the self-talk that I do to myself was being like, okay, stop that. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to connect, you know, this is going to, you know. But it always have been good, and, you know, people are really gracious. Because, you know, you get a room of 30 people or so, you're going to make a connection somewhere in that room. You know, just keep on doing what you're doing. Well, Travis, I'm going to have to let you go. I don't want to, but we got to end the program. It's been a pleasure of having you here again, and hopefully you've enjoyed yourself, and it was fun.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I had a wonderful time.
All right. And give us your website one more time, please.
It's psychictravissanders.com.
All right. Could you say it a little slower so we can write it down, maybe? All right.
Sure.
Go ahead.
It is psychictravissanders.com.
All right. Yeah. And so, hey, Travis, thank you again so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll have you back here sometime in the future. All right, thank you, Travis.
Well. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's go ahead and let's say goodbye to Travis and be sure I get his mic closed here. Thank you, hung up. All right. All right, I appreciate everybody being here today. You know, and like I said, you know, contact Travis, please, if you're wanting a reading from him, that's great. So you can find that information over on his website, and he's given that a couple times here. So we appreciate that. I appreciate Jesse helping out today. Jesse, thank you so much for helping. I don't know what I would have done without you today. So I really do appreciate you helping out. So thank you so much, Jesse. Jesse's actually Rose's son, and Rose couldn't be with us today, so Jesse stepped in, and I appreciate it. We have some guests coming up. Wednesday, I have a guest with me. We'll be at 1 p.m. Central. Mika Davis, she does somatic healing. And so please tune into that. I don't know if she's going to do any readings. And again, if you didn't get on air with me, understandably, The show is spirit-led, and so if I didn't get you on, I really do apologize, but you can always set up a reading with Travis through his website, okay? And you'll be able to connect with that website on our website at www.spiritualtalkradio.net later on today. I'll get some of the previous guests that I've had up there, and so you'll be able to connect with him and the program he was on. He's an amazing person, and I love his energy. I love, just his spirit. I mean, and I can feel him going a long way. But, you know, we all get nervous. I get nervous every time I do this program. Spirit always steps in and always pushes us forward. The one thing that I'm going to ask you to do, my energy is a little off today, not a whole lot off, just a little bit. And the one thing that I would ask you to do, I don't want to ask a lot from you, but I would ask for you to send me healing energy. If you're a Reiki master, you know how to do that. I would appreciate it. My head will tell you where the problem is. It's in my head. I'm having some problems thinking today a little bit. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe I overthink. But the problem is in my head. And so just give you a place to direct energy and to help where you can. And you can always pray for me. I would appreciate it. I pray for you. I think we all need each other, and we all need to reach out to each other. And I feel like it's important to ask when we need something. So today, I sort of need you to send me some energy and some stuff, okay? All right. I appreciate it. If you would like to set up a reading with me, I do have time to do that today. And actually, do have a clear enough mind to actually do that today, if you would like to have a reading with me. It is www.spirituallyawakening.com, and you can learn about me, and you can set up readings with me over there. Now, that site is going to be the same site was there, but I've changed some of the colors, so some pages are not there yet. But the most important information you need to know right now is on that front page. That look has changed just a little bit, just to make it a little easier to read and stuff, so I'm working on that. So it is www.spiritualawakening.com. You can follow us. I have been known to throw us here and there, the best way to follow me is follow me, because like I said, this show is totally spirit-led. If spirit wakes me up in the morning and says, "Hey, Michael, I want you on air," Michael will be on air. I do my very best to follow that leading of spirit, and so we can do it that way. All right, so follow me. Also, I do have a Twitter account. You can go over there on Twitter, and I do every once in a while, not every single day, but a lot of times, I'll go over there and just put stuff up there and post things and little nuggets and things that spirit gives me. You can do that by going on the Blog Talk Show page and click on that Twitter thing, and you can catch up with me over there. All right? I would love to visit with you. And if you just want to just say hi and just say, "Hey, Michael," you know, or just talk to me, I love friends. I really do. I love friends. So if you just want to drop me an email, insightswithmichael@ymail.com, and, you know, we can just chat. And just be friends. That'd be cool. We all need friends. We all need people that we can reach out to. Say, "Hey, you know what? Hi." So if you want to do that, Insights with Michael, or if you just got a prayer request, or if you just have a question, or whatever reason, you can go over to insightswithmichael@ymail.com and send that to me. I believe in the power of prayer. I definitely believe in the power of prayer. And so, due to that fact, because we didn't have an opening prayer today because my mic wasn't plugged in, that tells you where my head is, sort of. And so, because of that reason, we're gonna go ahead and close out with prayer here in just a minute, because I believe that prayer is very important, and I believe that's the way that Spirit talks to us. And prayer, I think that we get hung up on the word prayer. Prayer to me is just meditation or just being quiet, just long enough for Spirit to speak to us. I think we just get hung up on different things and we call them different things. There will be a day we don't get hung up on that, but right now we still do sort of. Thank you so much for being a part of the program today. You have been listening to Spiritual Talk Radio. Let's go ahead and go to prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and close out. But let me say, you be you, I'll be me, and together we'll get there. Jesse, thank you so much again for stepping in today. It was an honor to have you with me on the program. It was an honor to have you all. Like I said, if I didn't get to you, I really hope you understand and don't get mad, okay? All right, because I don't want you mad at me. All right, let's go ahead and go to prayer. Then we're going to close out with a song. Father, Mother, God, I would just thank you for this day. We thank you for Travis, and we thank you for the gifts inside of him. We thank you for the opportunity of sharing some time with him today, to get to know him a little better and to learn about his journey. And he's an amazing person, and I am so thankful that he is on our planet. Father, Mother, God, I thank you that you are working through him to change lives. Father, Mother, God, I thank you for the knowledge that Travis and I are not in competition with each other, that we are working together to empower people and to make people better and to let them realize that they have abilities inside of them. They just need to tap into them. Father and Mother God, I just thank you for the doors that you are going to open for Travis and the opportunities that are coming into his path. And I thank you so much for that. I thank you so much for everything that you do. And I thank you for the listeners today. And I thank you for your strength and your power. And we say namaste and we say amen.